During the battle, he had made an interesting discovery. He had been flying that mine platform with two hands. He hadn't recalled that until a week had gone by. McKendrick said it was another part of his brain taking over the lost functions. Under stress, he had assumed, those lost functions and nerves healed because of a battle. But Johnny didn't believe that. Johnny's theory was that he manipulated the nerves, and it was working. He had begun by simply willing his arm and leg to do what he wanted. Each day, he had gotten a bit better, and now he could trot, no cane, and he could throw. For a hunter, trained as he was, the inability to sling a kill club had made him feel helpless. And here he was, pitching rocks. He threw one out. It went arcing through the air, down off the bluff, and sent a small white geyser up in the lake, the plunk coming back to him a moment later. Pretty good, if he did say it himself. The storm out there was towering up a bit higher, grayish black, a bit ugly. He glanced toward the mine site and found the tri-wheeler had almost arrived. It stopped. For a moment, Johnny did not recognize the rider, and he stepped nearer to him, questioningly. Then he saw it was the third duplicate of him, a man they called Stormalong. His real name was Stam Stavanger, member of a Norwegian group who had emigrated to Scotland from Norway in ages past, and who had preserved their names and lineage but not their customs. They looked and acted like Scots. He was Johnny's height and build and had eyes like Johnny's, but his hair was a shade darker and his skin very much more tanned. Since the load days, he had not bothered to keep up the resemblance and had cut his beard square at the bottom. Stormalong had stayed at the academy. A skilled pilot, he enjoyed teaching the new cadets to fly. He had found an ancient flying coat, a white scarf, and a huge pair of goggles from a bygone age, and he affected these. They gave him a bit of dash.
Hey,
they swatted each other on the back and grinned at each other.
Hey, they told me I'd find you down here throwing rocks at the crocs,
said Stormalong.
How's the arm?
You must have seen the last one I threw,
said Johnny.
It might not have knocked down one of these elephants, but it's getting there.
He guided him over to a big flat rock overlooking the lake, and they sat down. The storm was building up, but it was an easy run back. Stormalong was seldom very talkative, but right now he was full of news. It had taken some ferreting out, real badger digging, to find where Johnny was. Nobody knew in America, so he had gone to Scotland to find him or some trace of him. Chrissy sent her love. He'd already given patties to Biddy. The chief of Clan Fergus had sent his respects, mind you, not his regards, but his respects. His Aunt Ellen sent her love. She was married to the parson now and in Scotland. He'd gotten on Johnny's trail through the two coordinators who had gone back to Scotland, the ones sent out to bring in some tribe or other. The Brigades? The Brigantes. Oh, that mob was up in Denver now. Horrible people. He'd seen some. Anyway, they'd brought Allison's body home for burial, and Scotland was in an uproar over the murder of Allison. But that wasn't what he wanted to tell Johnny. The craziest thing had happened on his flight over.
You know how you said we could get invaded again here on Earth? Well, it does seem possible.